Mic check. Mic check is good. Okay. All right, so let's pray. Father God, in Jesus Christ's name, we just come before you thanking you for one more day. We thank you that we are able to gather here in fellowship, one with another and with you, and with your Son and with your Holy Spirit. Father God, there are many right now who are unable to do the same. And for them, Father God, we pray that you will grant them safety. And for those who you wish to be with you, Father God, they will continue to wait at your throne with the white robes. Father God, even now I pray that whatever words that I speak, Father God, they will be your words. And that in everything that is done here today will be done in accordance to your will, in accordance to your character, and in accordance to your way. Father God, in Jesus Christ's name, I pray that you will be with us, you will guide us in your word, and you will continue to give us the faith to endure. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, so, salutations and greeting everyone. How are you all doing today? Doing good? Good. If I should start this off like Paul, I would say, Chadwick, a slave of God, and just a regular person in Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is, after all, godliness. If we can turn to Hebrews 11:32, we'll be reading from 32 all the way down to 13, and I encourage you to have your Bible ready. We will be reading a lot of scriptures today, okay? Whether you want to have it both on the physical and on your phone, just have it ready. All right, we will begin. So at verse 32 of Hebrews 11, and what shall I say, or what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens of and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof we are all partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward he dealeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. This is the word of the Lord. So, I want to bring to your attention in chapter 12, verse 2 and verse 3. Where it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied, and faint in your mind. There has been a lot of things, I would say, in all of our lives that will bring us to a place where we will feel faint, where we will feel weary, where we will feel without strength. And my encouragement today is that we will endure. We will endure the tribulation that is to come. We will endure any hardships currently in our lives. We will endure whatever it is that is holding us in a state of faintness. And this we will do through faith. The word endure can be found in many places in the Bible and in different words which bring across similar meanings. And I would like to explore the word endure today. Keep in mind verse 2, verse 3 of Hebrews 12 as we go through these. So according to Strong's Concordance in the New Testament, the Greek for endure is in, I believe, 8 different phrases or 8 different words in the Greek. We have the G430, which is anekho. The G2553, which is the kakopatheo. Which the G2594, which is kartoreo. And you can help me with the pronunciation. No problem. All right, the G3114, which is the makrothemeo, the G3306, which is Menno, pretty simple. The G5278, which is the Hoopomeno. The G5297, which is the Hoopoferro. And the G5342, which is just Ferro. So we'll be going through these and looking through the scriptures to see where these can be found. And as you see with the KJV equivalent from G430 or the G5342, the different words in the New Testament which would equate to those words in that way. So for aneko, it would be to suffer or suffer, bear with, forbear, and endure. For the next one, endure hardness, suffer trouble, endure affliction, be afflicted. For the next one, just straight endure. For makrothemeo, be patient, have patience, have long patience, bear long, suffer long, be long-suffering, patiently endure, and so on. So we'll get to it. So go with me to Ephesians 4, verse 32. Oh, sorry, Ephesians 4, verse 2. Where it says, or I'll wait. All right, ready? So with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And if we start from verse 1, we would start with saying, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. In verse 2 saying, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, which is the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we are called here to walk worthy according to the vocation where we were called, to walk in all lowliness and meekness. One scripture would say to esteem others as higher or better than ourselves, and to walk with long suffering, and to walk in forbearing one another in love. And if this was back home, this would definitely hit, because due to how large some of our churches can be, we will sometimes have issues with our brothers and sisters in the family. But with this, he's just reminding us to be forbearing one another in love. And as we move to Colossians 3, verse 13, where we see G430, once again, it says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So also do ye. And if we start from 1 verse 4, verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, in 13, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all things, in 14, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So, examples of kakapotheo, we can go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. Where it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier in Jesus Christ." And if we start from verse 1, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So, enduring whatever it is, whether it wants to be in our personal lives, in our work lives, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then in same 2 Timothy 4 verse 5, it says, all right, I'll wait. "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry." Starting from verse 1 of 2 Timothy 4, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead in his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry." Make full proof of thy ministry. This one is especially relevant today, where last week, I remember sharing that I have a friend back home or a work colleague who, due to the religious situation in his home, he has turned to Gnosticism. And I was explaining through 1 John that 1 John was practically speaking against Gnosticism, which claims that we in ourselves can be sufficient within ourselves, meaning we don't have sin. The only problems we have is certain quirks or bad characters, and that we ourselves are our own gods, which is foolishness. But this is the time of which Paul was speaking of, where there's a time when they will not be able to endure sound doctrine. He claims it's because of what he saw in his household. His grandparents and his parents were Christian, but he saw a different light and a different way, and he knows gnosis, the right way, the secret knowledge. But John says, this is 1 John 1, "But if we walk," verse 7, "but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. But watch thou in all things. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. So, turn to Hebrews 11. It's a couple of verses before the one that I read. So this one in particular, I believe it's used probably once, G2594. Hebrews 11, verse 27, where it says, by faith, he, being Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. There might be times in our lives where, regardless of how difficult or how impossible the challenge may seem, we may just have to endure the hardship, seeing that it would be better to suffer than to live in a state of peace, or what seems to be peace. It may be better to suffer. And I know these words are not really so comforting when you think of it, because right now in the world, there are a lot of people suffering. We have seen in the Middle East the bombings that were taking place in Gaza, now bombings from Lebanon, and it just seems like closer and closer it's going to inch very closer to where we are here in our comfort, with the looming threat of China with the Taiwanese people. And if that is a conflict that is happening or could happen, then Japan would have to then take its place there. And then everything we knew or know would then be thrown on its head. But I'm saying, even in that, endure. We don't know what challenges might come this month, next month, next year. Endure. Endure. So G3114, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. And this one is on a lighter note. It says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. So these are one of the ones, are the words that would be suffereth long. And in James 5, verse 8, it says, be also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And if I should start from verse 7, it says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judgment standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And if we have or know the story of Job, we can tell that Job's story would seem to be all sadness at first, but it was to his benefit in the end. In just one chapter of Job, he lost everything he knew. And the last person standing with him was saying, curse God and die. But that this says, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, as we will dwell as houses of the Lord, in one house of the Lord forever. And jump into 2 Peter 3, verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And starting just a little before in verse 8, it says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but in long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay. So we're on Menno, G3306. This we can find in John, the book of John. Mark, Luke, John, verse 12, chapter 12. So I'll just be reading from 44, where it says, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. 46 says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And that word there, abide, is the meno. We should not abide in darkness. And this goes back to the same 1 John. But if we jump to John 15, verse 4, it says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. And in verse 9, as the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. In verse 10, it says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So this endure is the word abide. Is giving us encouragement that we should abide in the Word of God, abide in the light of God, abide in God's love. And we do well to abide in God's love, as the love of this world will bring us to our very knees in shame. The same John writes in 1 John that all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from God. It's not from God. And these things will definitely bring us into destruction. Okay. So, Hooper Menno, G5278. This can be found in Matthew 10, verse 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. And this was a warning from Christ to his followers at that time of the coming destruction of Israel that should take place, I believe, in 70 AD. I believe so, where the temple was destroyed by, I believe, the forces of Nero. Is that correct? Or the Roman, yeah, by the Romans at that time. But in our day and age, and for those who this would apply to literally now, as we speak, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, it goes back to looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There have been many theological debates about the humanness of Jesus, whether or not, and this would fall into the Jesus only category for those who deny the Trinity, in the sense of whether or not Jesus himself was the Father. Well, we know that Jesus is the Son, and in the Gospels we see where Jesus himself is saying, if this cup could pass from me, let it be so, but if not, thy will be done. Your will be done. Meaning, he had a human aspect to him, to where he's saying that, I don't want to impose, but based on how he was speaking, he himself may not have wanted to endure that cross, or to bear the burdens of the cross. But regardless, his Father's will be done. And as such, God's will be done. He endured the cross and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I have here, see verse 3, where it says, for consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So this is to say that if you find yourself in a position where you're wondering whether or not God is still dealing with you as a son. Is there circumstances in your life that is bringing you back to him? Or do you feel like God is not there? He's saying that we know that those who receive chastening or chastisement are the sons of God. And if you are not receiving the chastisement, whereof we are all partakers, then you are bastards and are not sons. So, in this time, I'm just encouraging you to continue in the faith, as the faith itself would lead us into endurance. I believe it was in Romans where Paul said that, let's see. Therefore, being justified by faith, in Romans 5, starting at verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. So we're continuing under the same G5278, where we go to James 1, verse 12, where it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Going a little further, it says, let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Going back to verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. With verse 12, it shows us what to do when the temptation comes. With 13 to 17, or 13 to 15, it explains how temptation works by saying that when a man is tempted, he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. One, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. Two, and when sin is finished, it brings forth death. Three. In this case, what would be the remedy? Enduring the temptation. And as 1 John would say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I've learned that that scripture isn't speaking particularly to any one sin, but the sins in general. It's bringing us back to the remembrance of what he wrote in John, where Jesus came, he did the ministry, he died on the cross, he resurrected from the grave, And then he ascended back into heaven. So he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins through faith in him, bringing us to a place where we would recognize our own sinfulness, our weakness to temptation, and giving us the ability to endure temptation. In James 5:11, it says, "Behold," and I think we've touched on this before, "we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy." And in 1 Peter 2, verse 20, it says, "For what glory is it, if when you are buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if, when you do well, and you suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." This is acceptable with God. Going back one verse, to verse 19, it says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." This is thankworthy. "For what glory is it," back in verse 20, "if when you are buffeted for your faults, your own sins, your own wrongdoings, you take it patiently. But if you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God." So, with G5297, that is Hupothero, we jump to, keep your finger on the 19, because we just mentioned that. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Amen. Definitely make a way to bear it. And last but not least, Pharaoh. So with this word in particular, there is probably two times where Pharaoh is used as endure. But the majority of the time, it's used in relation to the word bring or brought in the New Testament. So I believe one in particular was when the servants brought the jars for Jesus to turn the water into wine, Pharaoh. So in Romans 9:22, it says, "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?" Jumping a bit ahead to verse 14, it says, "What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared through all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and on whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then to me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? Have not the potter clay over the have not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor? What if God, verse 22, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with long suffering the vessels of wrath fit to destruction? This reminds me of what Jesus spoke of in Matthew. I can't find that one, but he spoke in Matthew where he says that he gave the parable, the farmer went out to sow his wheat in the field. While he sowed in the field, left it to sleep at the night, the enemy came and sowed in tears. Woke up the next day, his servant said, Master, there are now tears in the field, and we saw that you sowed wheat. Should we lift them out? And they said, no. We will let the tears stay until the day of judgment, or in this case, the day of harvest, which is the day of judgment. And the wheat shall be separated, and the tears shall be burnt. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And at one point, this personally hit, because when I was in a state of lowness, when I was saying, Lord, I am seeing scammers, drug dealers, gunmen, living lives that seemed prosperous, and I am here in a technical poverty. What's going on? He is leaving them for a time. It's not my concern whether or not they get to ride around in their big fancy cars or whatever the case is. He is leaving them for a time. My thing is not to be concerned with whether or not they are doing whatever they are doing. My thing is to endure the hardness. Endure the hard times. Endure, whether it be financially, emotionally, spiritually, endure. And my encouragement to you all is to endure. Things might not work out the way that we wanted them to be. Things might even get worse, as things have gotten worse. And I can testify personally to that. But regardless, endure. Endure. I wanted to share this last, where I think one of the things about ministering to others is to recognize that with ministry comes warfare. We are not just going to sit down, praise God, go home, and everything is all right. It's going to be war. We are soldiers. Every day, it's a living warfare. Every day, it's not easy. Every day, it will be challenging. But even with the challenge, I do encourage you to endure. This week was probably one of the hardest weeks in my life, I can tell you. And I've been through some stuff. And what caused it to be so hard? I was tasked with just giving a simple message on Sunday. But everything just went haywire. Some personal stuff that really just went down. And even things that I own, they just seem to have been destroyed. But I am encouraging everyone to endure. 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 In Jesus Christ's name. So that was my closing remarks. Let's pray. So Father God, in Jesus Christ's name, we come again. And Father God, we ask that you would give us your spirit. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Father God, let in all our ways we will acknowledge you, and you will direct our path. We will trust in you, Lord. I think it's Psalms 23, Lord, that says, you will guide us like sheep to the waters. You lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us, and your rod and your staff, they will comfort us. You will continuously prepare a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. You will anoint our head with oil so that our cup will run over. And Father God, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, as we will dwell in your house, as we will dwell as your house. For we know that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in us. And we will not take our members and put them to harlotry, put them to idolatry, put them to any form of witchcraft. But Father God, we will remain holy and acceptable unto you, Lord God, which is our reasonable service. Father God, let us endure in love. Let us endure in long-suffering. Let us endure in hardship. Let us endure in pain and in tears. Let us endure when we have no friends. Let us endure when family forsake us. Let us endure in Jesus Christ's name. And Father God, let us endure when the world itself hates us because it hated you. The servant or the disciple is not greater than the master. And if they hated you, they will hate us. But Father God, even in the hatred, let us bless our enemies. Let us pray for them that despitefully use us. Let us have mercy, Father God. For he said, blessed are the merciful. Let us have peace, Lord God, so that we can walk in your peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Let our feet be shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let us continue to read your word daily because it is a sword that will rightly divide both the joint and marrow. Father God, let we be discerning and let we always discern to see what spirit it is. Father God, continue to give us strength and forgiveness. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.